Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 197th class of Soul Class. Today we'll be featuring Reasoning for the Nations, Part 6. And I heard this music yesterday, not for the first time, but it struck me at a time that I felt was propitious for me to share this with you. This is flamenco music, instrumental music, that is taken off a Israel National's website. And I just want to recommend if anyone hears some good Middle Eastern, Jewish, or even classical music, here you can go to Israel National News, www.israelnationalnews.com/radio/jukebox.aspx. Let's turn down the music and let's get right into the show because it's not a long presentation today, blessed souls. Let's just turn it down and thank you very much. Manishma, blessed souls. And I want to tell you something, blessed souls, that, you know, any time that we are in the creation is a eighth ratzon, a propitious time, special time. And I feel this is a special time once again today to extend my efforts to reading and vibing out on Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noach Laws, as an extension of something that we also find in Hasidus, that there's a concept, blessed souls, called Or Ein Sof, the Or, the light, Ein Sof, which is infinite, referring to the many places which is mentioned in Torah Hasidut, that there's a quality of light, which I like to, you know, with certain discussions in Torah that we want to anglicize it because we are speaking in English to all you blessed souls. They're all, whether you're English speaking or Hebrew speaking, Arabic speaking, Russian speaking, Spanish speaking, flamenco speaking, whatever, Ladino speaking, we all have a divine image, a Telem Elokim, which is no dream. So this idea of Ur, I understand it as a quality of Ur / consciousness, which disperses out from the essence of the Creator, just like it is included within himself, because nothing is outside of the Or Ein Sof, the light of the Infinite One. And therefore, as it disperses out, is that we, the Makablim, we the receivers of this consciousness, of this awareness, this awakening to a new day, which we open, new day we're awakening to, is the universal redemption, Gula Mintas Ashlema, is that to keep in mind that even when the reasons come down to even Seichel Anushi, to human intellect, which Chaim Vital, by the way, wrote in Shari Kedusha, is the true expression of the human being. Yes, we have the body of man, the body of woman, Gufa Adam, Gufa Isha, but the true essence of a person is to be found within their divine image. And this is what so masterfully Elisha Vabar is able to tap into in the sharing from, we're going to go today now into page 5 introduction, from again Torah for Gentiles, Messianic Implications of the B'nai Noach Laws. So last week we concluded talking about how the Maimonides, Moshe Ben Maimon, had compiled the complete code of Jewish law, halakha, and everything else which followed, which is commentary. But there were teachings which preceded the Rambam. There were even teachings which preceded the giving of the Torah, but those teachings which preceded the giving of the Torah were in fact teachings which were preceded by other teachings. Since, for instance, the world has aware of, and if you're not aware of, you can even Google it up and look up Hammurabi Code. This came from King Hammurabi, and Hammurabi is spelled Hammurabi. So where does, as Eli Sheva writes, where does King Hammurabi come in? And where did he get his legal wisdom from? The truth is, blessed souls, our heritage as part of the human's family experience, whether we be of the children of Adam, the generations of man from original man and woman until the time of Noah, or the children of Noah, or the children of Israel, who came out of the physical loins and spiritual loins of the teachings of Noah through his son Shem. These traditions were kept again faithfully by his son Shem, and then Shem's, I believe, his grandson Eber, and then Methuselah, who was the grandfather of Noah, and then Abraham, and Abraham. Now, Hammurabi, again, who I suggest you can do your research upon, who introduces his codes by presenting credentials of his deities, meaning the idols that he worshipped. And he gave credit to his deities, the idols that he worshipped, and therefore reformulated the ancient tradition, sort of speak what we've seen in latter days, since the destruction of the temple, what we call replacement theologies, which try to not necessarily conceal, but kind of reinterpret, recapitulate in a way that is culturally sensitive to the needs of that culture, which we've seen in Christianity, which we've seen in Islam. Of course, there are good points in Christianity and there are good points in Islam, but the primary means by which they were initially introduced were in a way for the benefit of those who wanted to reformulize the traditions of the human family experience. So Kim Hammurabi, in his context, he retained the features which he approved of from these seven Noahide commandments. And by the way, you can see from scholarly works from Jewish scholars and Noahide scholars that preceding King Hammurabi was in fact Noah and his children. So King Hammurabi would retain features that he approved and discard those which should not support the quote-unquote rule of righteousness which he thought was fitting, that he wanted to establish. And when he founded his quote-unquote everlasting kingdom, whose foundations are laid as solidly those of heaven and earth on a new world order, the whole idea was to break away from the original code. And again, the Rambam talks about this, and the honest scholars from Christianity and Islam also recognize that as much as their doctrines have sound foundations from the Torah, at also times they come to oppose the true, pristine, eternal teachings of the Torah. Now, we see that there was something called the Code of Urukagina, Urukagina code, which goes back to 2250 BC. And we're going to be quoting from the author's name very soon. We're going to read a quotation now. Is mentioned in other documents as a consolidation of existing ordinances or laid down by Mesopotamian kings. And the reference there is the World Legal History website. Now, the Hittite law were the laws of the Hittites, one of the seven Canaanite tribes, explicitly refers to former laws as quote-unquote obsolete, indicating there was previously other law, which, according to one scholar, Biberfield, Biberfield, quote, was the Noahide code from which peoples had deviated and perverted, which was later instituted, I should say, was later reinstituted and reintegrated into the Torah, end of quote. And then from Biberfield's Universal Jewish History, The Legal Heritage, published in 1948, recent archaeological discoveries of codes of law preceding Hammurabi are closer to, in fact, don't be surprised, to the biblical formulation and confirm them as complaining the verbal simplicity of the original source which must go back to the beginnings of the history of human beings. So Biberfield's thesis is not only confirmed by our tradition, the tradition of Israel, it is supported by archaeological finds, and today is becoming general knowledge that, quote, the ethical values and principles contained in the seven Noahide commandments have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, end of quote, which was part and parcel of the U.S. Joint Congress resolution, which was signed by the first President Bush in 1991. Now, Elisheva reminds us in her introduction, this resolution does not make the Noahide Code, or laws or mitzvahs, binding in American law, and courts neither can in their present constitution. But in the meantime, it would profitably replace the truncated versions of the Ten Commandments, which are posted in American schools and courts, with the list of the seven laws of Noah, seven B'nai Noah commandments, which have been known to mankind since of old. Now, there will come a time when these seven Noahic commandments, according to the prophetic teachings, will become the basis of the world charter, not the new world order that some people would like to use to divide and confuse against the nation of Israel and the good Noahites of the world. For, and even I've seen in teachings from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chosi Yogi Leino, may his merits protect us, that we will not be surprised in the days of the Messiah. There will be nation states. However, as Elisheva instructs us, each nation will still retain its specific judicial procedures and organize its own internal affairs the way it finds best in every other domain not covered by this charter, meaning the seven Noahic commandments, because when the reign of the King Messiah, the Mashiach, will be established, there will be no other change in the world other than the peace that these laws can in fact guarantee. So you see, there's a great confusion in the world, blessed souls, that people will come and say, well, the Noahide laws is a secret plot of the Jews to enslave the world. No. It will be that each nation, and again, I want to repeat, Lubavitcher Rebbe Chosi Yogi Leino, may his merits protect us, mentioned that each country will be running according to its own cultural sensitivities, and as Elif Sheva mentions, specific judicial procedures. So rather than the old mindset, which tried to engage in replacement theology, which we see in the Hammurabi Code, the Hittite law, and later on in Christian and Islamic tradition, that there will be an integration of Torah instructions in each society, which will be sensitive to the makeups of all the peoples. I mean, let's face it, let's think on a very simple, down-to-earth level. There is so much variety in the human family experience originally emanating from 70 root families, which you can read about in Genesis, after we read about the fruitful and multiplying experiences of the children of Noah from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And you see the nation states which came, or the nations, I should say, nations that came out of the loins of the three sons of Noah and their wives. We see that there has always been a recognition from the Torah that there are different nations. Now, the difficulty lies in the fact that we have to realize that all of our nations, all the nations of the world, are in fact interrelated because we have one common patriarch in the patriarch Noah. That there happened to be a later development of another patriarchal paradigm through the nation of Israel, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Israel. Well, I'm sure there are people that still to this day, even Jewish people, deal with this type of knowledge, and they interpret it, they misinterpret it, they perceive and misperceive what are the implications. But more importantly, there's a misperception of our responsibility. So a book like this by Eli Shavibar, which I wholeheartedly recommend for people to go out and buy, which you can look up on the internet how to buy it, and also she has a Facebook site, just simply her name, Eli Shavibar. I suggest everyone go out and check out the book and try to connect with Eli Shavibar, and if you go to the link, if you listen to the archive version, or someone else will eventually hear this as the archive version instead of my humble live presentation now, you can further connect and further learn more about this book. But again, all these teachings, let's say, coming down to human intellect, are in fact the espashtuso, the dispersion of the orients of the light of the infinite creator, coming down into the vehicle, the kli, the vessel of human intellect, which is principally configured to our divine image. So in the meantime, we're going to end off with a little beautiful music by our good friend out in England. I keep telling you, from David Dome, who hopefully... Elisheva gave me some feedback last week. The song we played last week was Travis' song, A Noahide Prayer. This is a song called I'm Telling You. I Keep Telling You by David Dome from his album Listen Up. It's a song about, it's not just about money. It's not just your soul. It's about your faith with your soul, connecting to more Torah and more life, less worry, and becoming more wise. So let's give a listen to the song, Blessed Souls. In the meantime, until we hope we can reunite next week, Ahava Chad, one love, Gorel Chad, one destiny, Kulano for all of us. Badarchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, the Ezra Hashem Yisbrik, with the help of the Most High, Lahamshich, to be continued. Take care, everyone.